In him I trust. Without him, we can do?
Well, we usually can make a mess.
Well, that's true, too.
Amen? Yep. Without him, we usually make a mess.
Okay.
I just want to go back to yesterday morning. As I was in the Word, I'm going to share how the soul can get us into trouble. And the soul is always with us, and he's always pushing buttons. So these are my notes from yesterday morning. And I'm not going to read it all, but I had been reading about Abraham. So I just said, Lord, I rejoice in all that you are doing, Jesus. When I see you speak and eat and spend time with Abraham, and you make the statement, nothing is too hard for God. This is when he's being told that he's going to have a son. And then I also see the exchange of the heart to heart that is going on over the city of Sodom, etc. And I wrote down, I am desiring the same and more. Well, guess what? I didn't get a response. He just let me sit there with this attitude that I had. And it wasn't really a bad attitude. It's just like, you know, I'm not quite... You know, the emotions were saying, you just, you know, Abraham had so much more. And, you know, he had this encounter. He made lunch for him, and the father and the son were there. And you know, the angels came. And I wanted more. So now I got to get ready because I got to put this away and do what I need to do. And as I went downstairs, I undressed and got in the shower as soon as I went under that water spout, I heard, you have so much more than what Abraham had, Kim. You have me inside of you, and I'm always with you. There was extra waterworks, extra cleansing, and I was ashamed of not realizing how much it cost him to watch his son pay for my debt. And here I was being jealous of Abraham. Have I got any friends out there? Yeah. And so I said, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And he says, I know your heart. I know your heart. And that's what I bank on. I know his heart, and he knows my heart. His heart was to allow Jesus to go through everything he did so that I could have his spirit within me. And I don't understand the fullness of that yet. I don't know if I ever will in this realm, because my soul still pushes so many buttons, and it does. It does the jealousy thing. I don't know how else to describe it. But you know, when he came into this realm, And you can see it in Luke. You can see it when he was provided a way to get into Egypt by the three kings that showed up. And how God provided so many times, so many things that he did to make sure that his son would grow and mature. And all along, there was a cross in the future of that son's life. If you want to take a peek at Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? And we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. This part I want you to see. All Jerusalem with him was disturbed. When he had called together all the people, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born, or the anointed one was to be born. Verse 5 says, "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets have written. But when you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, from out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." See, Bethlehem is a little tiny town. And you'd think, what could come out of that little tiny village when there's such major cities everywhere in Israel at that time, especially Jerusalem? So you'd expect the king to be born, but certainly not in a stable. Then verse 7 says, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared." Notice again how nosy and yet precise information is important to the king, even though it's for destructive purposes. Okay? "He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him.'" What a wonderful liar. "After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was." Talk about precision. "When they saw the star, they were overjoyed." Verse 11, if you don't have a circle around it, should. "On coming to the house," it doesn't say stable anymore. "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him." Why are they bowing down and worshiping him if they were not absolutely sure that this was the king, the Messiah, the anointed one? Would you just go into somebody's house with doubts in your head? Or would you knock on the door with assurance?
And they were Gentiles, not Jews.
Thank you. The only other people that went in that house were the shepherds. So the lowest of the low, because in the hierarchy of men, if you take care of sheep, you smell like them.
when I was a kid. Obviously, I went into the barn, and when you wear wool, the wool, for some odd reason, catches the odor of the barn. And in case you forgot, it is a barn. And so even though you washed the wool and clothing, it still had the what? For those who didn't work on the farm, you become very predominant in the odor department. And some people won't get close to you because they can't. The stench takes over. What am I saying? You won't smell it because you're living in it. And it's an everyday thing to you, that barn smell. But to those that are living in the city, it's a whole different ballgame for them. Notice again, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and myrrh. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. These are Gentiles getting dreams and they're obedient. And they obeyed the dream. We are believers. And when we have dreams, sometimes they may not be fully understood at the moment. But God's manifestation of that dream will make it so that you will obey eventually. Verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night. During the night. Now I would wait for the day. Be practical, wait for sunshine so you can see where you're going. Why did he leave in the middle of the night? Because there was an urgency in the dream. There was also provision which he might have been praying for. You can't move and go live in a foreign country when all you can afford is two turtle doves to pay as a sacrifice for your son. So they were far from wealthy. They had meager provision. But now God moved unto the Gentiles to bring in finances. Because you see, there was a preparation going on. So my heart says to you, is there anything that has changed? Can God provide for you and me? Is he willing to give us an abundance to get us wherever he needs to have us? So there's nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. And if he tells us to move in the middle of the night, and the urgency is real, he will make that provision. So I want you to go with me very briefly.
Before you get off on this, a thought came to me when you were talking about the shepherds and the odor.
Yeah.
Jesus himself smelled that way. He was in a manger.
Absolutely. He smelled the same smell. You're absolutely right. And the manger was not definitely a place of, you know, flowers are blossoms, amen? But I just want you to know that Herod was not exactly a friend. He was a deceiving king. And his deception was very, very powerful. But the Lord knew what to do. The Holy Spirit was in charge. And I've seen over the years that the kings obeyed. They followed that whole situation, and they didn't listen to the king, did they? So, did they have discernment? Yeah. They were aware that this king had lied, that his purpose was to slander. So, the other verse that I heard this morning was, about slander. And it's in James chapter 4, verse 11. James chapter 4, verse 11. Just one verse. That's all he gave me. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. And it goes on. But I looked up the reference. And there were quite a few verses. Those three kings were wise enough not to advertise that they were leaving by a different route. They kept their mouth shut. Did they slander the king? No, they respected him. But they went by a different route. Psalms 31:13 says, "For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life." Is that a word that came? Think about it. That was King David. But I also believe Joseph, who knew that if they killed their son, they might kill him and Mary too. Amen? Psalm 101, verse 5 says, "Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not endure." King Herod was dealt with by God, not by men. Agreed? He wanted to get rid of this future king because he was proud. Proverbs 10:18, "He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." That's a powerful word. He who conceals his hatred. Did Herod conceal his hatred? He was quite up front with the kings of, or the magi, and sent them to Bethlehem. But his purpose was hidden. Was God able to see his heart? Absolutely. Proverbs 11:9. "With his mouth the godless destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous escape." When I declare that I'm righteous in Christ, I have a route of escape available to me. Did the kings and the magi escape? Did God provide a dream for them? Can he provide a dream for me?
Yes.
All right. Jeremiah 9:4. "Be aware of your friends and do not trust your brother, for every brother is a deceiver and every friend a slanderer." Friends can be deceptive, but God's Holy Spirit can expose those friends that have an agenda. Agreed? So I rejoice with you that the Holy Spirit knows when to do more and when to give you more. I want to take you back now to verse 13 of Matthew 12. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in vicinity who were 2 years old and under. In accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi, so the information came from the wise men. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, go up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel, etc., etc., etc. I believe that we in our country don't really advertise too much about the wise men. But I can remember as a boy, the Feast of the Three Kings was very powerful. And we celebrated that. We celebrated it as the protection of the believers. Today I understand it from a different level because I have more of the Lord in me than I did then. So don't underestimate your foundation. Don't underestimate where God took you from or where he's taking you now. So close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, nothing has changed. I know that I need protection. And I also know that you can give instructions. So I'm looking forward. For dreams and visions. Words of knowledge. To guide me. To get me to my destination. To counsel me in time. Even if it's to get up in the middle of the night. And take the Holy Ghost out into where he wants me to go. Because he's inside me. He lives inside of me. Emmanuel. God in me. Hallelujah. God in me. Alive in me. He's well in me. And he'll guide. And he'll empower me. Every step of the way.
Every step of the way.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.